The passage that we're looking at has a dispensational lesson for us, but it also has a devotional lesson for us. God's gift of beauty for ashes. You know, the story is told of a pastor who passed a repair shop, which had a sign on the window. And on the sign of the window, it said, "We mend everything except broken hearts." I guess that was in the day before we started our throwaway society. You look at some of these old television programs and you see people bringing in toasters to have them repaired. You remember those days? Well, what do you do now when your toaster's on the blink? You throw it out. You go to Bed Bath & Beyond or Walmart or Target, and you just get another one for $15 and just go on, the great throwaway society. But this store had a sign, "We mend everything except broken hearts." Well, attracted by that sign, the pastor went in to the shop, and he encountered a beautiful young lady. Her nationality very definitely seemed to be Jewish. And he made the comment to the young Jewish lady, "I saw the sign in your window and I want to ask you what you do with people that have a broken heart." Well, that kind of took the gal behind a little bit, and she said, well, she knew what the sign said. "We mend everything except the broken hearts." "What do you do with people with a broken heart?" And she said, "Oh, well, we send them to the hospital." Well, that gave the pastor the perfect opportunity to introduce this fine Jewish lady to an Old Testament scripture found in Isaiah chapter 61. And he told the young Jewish lady, well, the Bible tells us how God can mend a broken heart. He had the opportunity to read Isaiah 61. Take her to Luke chapter 14 and verse 18, which quotes this passage. When Jesus said, "This day is this passage fulfilled in me," and he wound up leading her to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And she had a broken heart without even realizing it. And the Lord wants to mend our lives. Notice Isaiah 61. First of all, let's take a look at this passage of Scripture dispensationally. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." A couple of observations that we'd like to make dispensationally. We know that Isaiah was a prophet to Judah, and he prophesied the coming Babylonian captivity because of Israel's sins. This passage of Scripture has a near and far view perspective to it. We know that the Babylonian captivity, lasting 70 years, was a judgment from the Lord upon His people for sin in their lives and disobedience to the Mosaic law. But yet, in the midst of this Babylonian chastening, which is the near view, certainly Isaiah the prophet would have been one who had been commissioned to preach good news and good tidings. But let us not be neglectful in understanding that the far view of this passage of Scripture is looking to the Anointed One, who truly would have been anointed to preach good tidings, which is the euangelion, the good news of the gospel. Jesus himself quoted this passage of Scripture in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and It was in his hometown of Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry. And he was the one that came to his chosen people in his first advent. Now, keep in mind, as we've been hearing in Sunday school, during the first advent, Jesus came as a lamb. He came as a lamb and in meekness came to offer the kingdom to his people in fulfillment to the Old Testament prophecies. But we also know that Israel rejected that offer from the Lamb. And now, at his second advent someday, he's going to come not as a lamb, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he will come and establish his kingdom. And in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, we have a picture, not of just the Babylonian captivity, but we have a picture of the suffering of Israel that she will go through during the tribulation period. The tribulation period is going to be much worse than the Babylonian captivity ever was. It will be a day of suffering and woes and birth pangs such as the world has never known before. But notice, when Jesus made that prophecy, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good tidings to the meek, the brokenhearted, the captives, those that are in prison." That is all a beautiful picture of what Jesus did when he came in his first advent. He came to a broken world and offered salvation. But notice in verse 2, Isaiah 61 includes the last part of verse 2, where Luke 4 and verse 18 omits it. In Isaiah 61 and verse 2b, the second part, it says, "And the day of vengeance of our God." Luke does not mention it. Jesus, reading from Isaiah 61, purposefully left out that phrase. Compare it with Luke 4:18, and you'll see that that is the case. Why did Jesus omit that last phrase, "the vengeance of God"? Because that is the tribulation period and the second advent. And he came to offer his kingdom so that they might not have to go through that. The second part of verse 2 is actually telescopically looking beyond the first advent to the second advent, when Jesus Christ comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And in the middle of all of that tribulation period, there'll be so much suffering and heartache and persecution upon God's chosen people. But you know, the good part about it is that the Lord desires beauty for ashes. You know, verse 3 has the dispensational understanding. Verse 3 is actually a kingdom verse. Did you hear that? Verse 3 actually applies to the kingdom, when the Lord will usher in a world of righteousness. He will rule on the throne of David, and by his coming, he will do several things. He will appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. He'll give them beauty for ashes. You see that word beauty? That's actually the Hebrew word for crown. He'll place a crown in place of ashes. Well, what kind of sense does that make? Well, let me help you to understand the context. When a person was in mourning, such as Job, he would take ashes and throw them upon his head in humiliation. And you know, basically what you're doing when you take dirt and ashes and throw them on your head, you know what you're basically saying? I'm so low that I'm lower than the ground under me. So therefore, let me heap it on my head, because I'm so low, I got to reach up to touch bottom. That's a Hebrew way of thinking. So they take just ashes and throw it in mourning upon their head. The Lord said, listen, Israel, you will suffer. But you know what? The day will come when you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the day of the Lord. And Israel shall nationally be saved. Now, it's true. Zechariah 13 says that one third of Israel shall be saved. But that's all of Israel that enters into the kingdom. So that's why in Romans 11, Paul said all Israel shall be saved. All of what's left. All of that which is believing, because only believing Israel will go into the kingdom. But the Lord says here, I'm going to give you a crown in place of the ashes that you've thrown on your head. I'm going to treat you as a kingdom of priests and a royal priesthood. And I'm going to place a crown rather than ashes on your head. And I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. I'm going to give you a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness that you've endured through the tribulation period. See, this is the dispensational lesson that we're looking at. In context, the context is different from application. There's one context, one interpretation. Then there are many applications. The interpretation is that this is a kingdom passage. And it's referring to God's chosen people and their elevation to the place of blessing when they have been laid so low through the time of Jacob's trouble, having passed through the rod, as Ezekiel 20 says. It says here that you may be called trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness. Trees that get their nourishment from righteousness. Flourishing in righteousness. Where once she was filled with iniquity. And Israel shall be the planting of the Lord. The Lord is going to plant the nation of Israel, where she'll no longer be scattered. No more diaspora. No more scattering. Because she will be in the land in belief. Now that is the dispensational teaching of the scripture. And notice in all of this that he, the Messiah, might be glorified. Now what's the devotional lesson to this? The devotional lesson to this is simply this. Certainly we're not going through the tribulation period. God has not appointed us unto wrath, the time of the great wrath, of the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. We belong to the church. The church is spotless in Christ Jesus, already having received the Messiah as Savior. But the point is this, we have small t tribulation every day. And you know what I'm talking about, because you're all going through it, all of the tribulations. What are the different types of trials that we can go through? Well, there's physical trials. There's trials for our faith. There's trials for our wrongdoing. There's trials for just living in a Christ-like way. Trials because we live in a fallen world. Physical trials, all kinds of trials that we go through. But the point is this. The Lord, verse 3, for his redeemed are able to experience the blessings of verse 3 ahead of time before the kingdom. Because we are, in a sense, and I say this without being an amillennialist or spiritualizing scripture, we are chronological phenomenons because we are members of his kingdom. And we ought to exemplify the blessings that he has given unto us in all of these ways. And you know, the Lord wants to give you beauty out of ashes. The Lord can take a trial, even that broken heart that the pastor was witnessing to about that young Jewish lady. The Lord is able to take that, a trial and testing that you've gone through. A horrible experience, perhaps in your childhood or in your upbringing or in your latter part of your life, he's able to take it and use it and turn it into a ministry and a blessing to be able to help others and transform out of ashes. It can be the greatest crown that you've ever, ever encountered in your life. And the Lord is able to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And all of the scriptures say here that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And the ultimate purpose is the glorification of the Lord. So let's pray for each other, because every trial can be that piece of charcoal that under pressure becomes a diamond. And we can trust the Lord that He who begins a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your promise and this beautiful passage of Scripture that teaches us, Lord, in the midst of disobedience and rebellion, You did not give up on Israel. And Lord, even though Israel still has that great suffering before her that will transcend any suffering of the past historically, Lord, we thank You that You still will honor Your word and that You'll exalt Your chosen people, and that, Lord, nations of the world will make their pilgrimages to the holy city. And we read about those beautiful scriptures in Revelation 21 and 22. Even in the eternal state, there'll be that new Jerusalem with our Savior and the Lamb there. So, Lord, bless us. And for those that are going through trials and testings, Lord, help us to trust You. And, Lord, to experience the blessings that You desire in transforming our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.